Welcome to The Bad Girl's Guide to Living Well with Heather Dowen, NMD. Spend time with Dr. Heather and her guests for tales of love, adventure, and how to be healthy and happy. Now, here's your host, Dr. Heather Dowen.
Hello, and welcome to The Bad Girl's Guide to Living Well. This is Dr. Heather Dowen, and I have a very special guest with me today, Dr. Lori DiBacco. She is an accomplished naturopathic medical doctor practicing in New Hampshire, and she and I have gotten into quite a bit of bad girl trouble together over the years. But she is she works with people of all ages, acute and chronic illnesses, especially those that have been notoriously difficult to treat. She specializes in women's medicine, pediatrics, endocrinology, those are your hormones, gastroenterology, how you digest, and chronic diseases. She just presented for the New Hampshire Naturopathic Medical Association on occult infections and chronic infections like Lyme disease. So, Dr. DiBacco, are you there?
She's not here yet. Just keep talking. I'll let you know when she's there.
Okay. She's probably finishing up with a patient, et cetera. So she offers a variety of investigative and therapeutic tools and comprehensive plans. And after the program today, if you're interested in getting in contact with her, she is an affiliate on naturopathicmd.com. And a lot of those tests, we are able to perform specialty testing all over the country with the labs that we use. So, for example, cardiovascular diseases and gastroenterology, we can do blood draws looking at certain markers or stool tests. And then with the occult infections, that's a different thing that she'll probably talk about a bit today as far as different illnesses and different bad bugs that can be at the root of disease that are notoriously difficult to treat. So today I expect to touch on those chronic diseases, along with toxicity, hormone imbalances, etc. Dr. DiBacco is currently practicing at New Hampshire Health and Wellness Center in Nashua, New Hampshire. In the past, she's worked with Dr. Shiva Barton at the Winchester Natural Health in Massachusetts and Northeast Integrative Medicine in Bedford, New Hampshire. She is a co-creator of the Whole Health Detox, which is a four-week detoxification program. Again, you know, it's our belief at Naturopathic MD, et cetera, as well as a lot of naturopaths, just period, that toxins in the environment are a big issue and base of much of disease. And so detoxification is especially important, and we'll talk to her about how hers is different and what her philosophy is behind it. She is a member of the New Hampshire Association of Naturopathic Doctors and the Massachusetts Society of Naturopathic Doctors, as well as the Association for Advancement of Restorative Medicine. She's also the past president of the Massachusetts Society of Naturopathic Doctors. She is an avid outdoors woman, and Lori and I have hiked through wilderness together numerous times. We both have an extreme love for nature and getting out and getting our hands and feet and a lot of other places dirty with nature. So hopefully she'll be able to join us. Oh, great. Dr. DiBacco, welcome.
Here I am.
All right. Thank you for coming. I was just going through your bio and talking about how we share a love of getting dirty.
Yes, we have had a lot of fun in the woods and in the mud of the southern United States.
Southwest, yes, we have.
United States, yeah.
So I was talking a little bit about, we might as well just jump in with getting dirty. I was reading in the Sierra Club magazine, that there's more microorganisms in a teaspoon of average soil than there are people on the planet.
Hmm.
Isn't that crazy?
It's a shocking fact, huh?
Yeah, it's really amazing. And I guess I wanted to just segue into those little bugs with you, because I know that you do a lot of work with occult infections. And I did mention to listeners how you presented on chronic infections this last fall. So yes. Would you be interested in telling us a little bit more about that and why it's so important?
Sure. So I first became interested in latent or occult or stealth or whatever term you want to call them, infections when I was in medical school. And I was, because I was tested for a whole bunch of them and found to be positive for two. And initially when I did research on them, I didn't find much besides a link to cancer, which was, you know, obviously very frightening. And so I've always been very interested in them, both personally and professionally. And in my professional career, when, you know, Lyme disease hit the scene and we were treating Lyme disease, and then there were, you know, a million co-infections that we were then testing for and treating, these latent infections sort of popped back on the scene. And I felt like nobody really had, you know, really trained us in the proper testing, assessment, or treatment of these things. You know, I only had my own personal knowledge from my own personal treatment courses. And so I really wanted to just do a deep dive into the research, and I was pleasantly surprised to find out that there is a ton of information out there, and a ton of information linking these types of infections to everything from a simple case of hypertension, which we, of course, you know, believe has quote unquote no cause, to autoimmune diseases, to Alzheimer's, to multiple sclerosis, you name it, all the cancers. So it was really a great experience, and I was very happy to present to my colleagues, because I just don't think anyone was really taught about these in a professional setting. So I'm hoping to just keep going, keep the conversation going, and keep learning from each other so we can help our patients, because they need us.
Right. And it seems, you know, with all of the autoimmunity, especially that we're seeing more and more prevalently, and allergies, et cetera, that those, you know, base causes could be a really important thing to figure out and treat, along with treat the cause of disease.
Exactly.
Who do you think should get tested for these sorts of infections?
It's unfortunately a growing and growing list. So certainly any chronically ill patient, you know, someone that's come to you that's been through a whole Lyme disease treatment and is still feeling, you know, not well, or someone who's been diagnosed with an autoimmune disease and is not doing well with their treatment, or is looking for some kind of alternative treatment. And then there's, I could make a case for someone with chronic sinusitis or chronic bronchitis,
sure,
or hypertension of unknown cause, you know, someone that just isn't going to be satisfied staying on that medication regimen for life and just accepting that. Mm-hmm. You know, it really is such a growing network of people to screen for these infections. I have a lot of patients that have elevated ANA or anti-nuclear mm-hmm. antibodies, which is just a screening tool for autoimmune disease, but doesn't necessarily mean you have one yet. And so I have a lot of patients with those, and they're like ideal patients, I think, to test for these, because you can tell the immune system has started to become disordered, and you can try to find the answer of why and what's causing that disorder. So, yeah, the who to test for is such an expanding list. Anyone with a degenerative
right.
type illness, Alzheimer's or Parkinson's or multiple
right.
sclerosis, and even the psych disorders have been linked to some of these things, like
yep.
anxiety and depression, let alone schizophrenia. The autistic and the folks that are on the spectrum, people with ADD, I mean, it's just a huge, you know, a huge span of people that could be suffering with these infections and not know it.
Is it easy to test for?
It's easy to test in blood. As you may expect, there are pitfalls with testing. No test is perfect.
Never is.
But a simple screening, the way I start is with a blood test, and I screen for the antibodies, IgM and IgG antibodies to, you know, either 5 or 6 infections, you know, when I'm screening my patients.
Okay. It's really interesting because with Naturopathic MD and the Bad Girls Guide to Living Well, we concentrate a lot on 3 different things, and that's stress, inflammation, and toxicity, as far as like the 3 major aspects that'll derail someone's health and cause most of the disease that we see. And so I'm not an expert with these chronic infections or, you know, stealth infections by any means, but the way that I would understand it is they would be something that would be adding to the overall negative inflammation in the body. And therefore that's why they can have all of these different effects on the body, and they would be specific for different people. Is that true? Was that kind of true?
Yeah, these bugs have an amazing ability to orchestrate our immune system. And one of the ways that they do that is they turn up the heat on the inflammatory cytokines, and they turn down the types of cytokines and immune cells that would be helpful to eradicate their own infection. And so it of course, you know, contributes to inflammation. When you are stressed and toxic, your immune system is already belabored, and your endocrine system is already strained. And quite honestly, if your endocrine system is not working well, your immune system will not work well. And so, you know, we have to sort of meet the patient where they're at. If the stress has torn down their endocrine system, we got to put that together before we even address, often before we even address the infections. Because, you know, I think of, you know, the pillars of health. You know, your digestion, if that's not working right, we're not going to be able to get you better. If your endocrine system isn't working well, if you're toxic, you know, all of those things kind of have to be cleaned up, or at least, you know, the pillars of the house have to be standing tall in order for you to be able to combat these infections successfully and keep them down. There's another interesting point, though, I want to say is that there is some evidence that the infections may not always be the root cause of infection, but they might just sort of reactivate in the presence of inflammation.
Ooh.
So it's like the inflammation's there, and they sense it and try to join the party. And that is an amazing concept, because I say to myself, so if you have, you know, if you bruise your elbow, or, you know, you get a bad break, you know, are you going to have an activation of potential infections from that?
That's interesting. I, you know, was having a conversation this last week about how one meal, like having one meal, can have a negative effect on your health, right? Let's say and have a pro-inflammatory meal at McDonald's, right? It's just something that's, you know, that you're craving, but you get heartburn, or you're adding more pro-inflammatory negative fats, et cetera, then those guys can join the party, and it can just, depending on how sick a person is in the first place, it can really snowball, is what I'm hearing.
Totally. Totally. I mean, people can be sick for weeks just based, you know, based on one bad choice.
Damn it. Right.
Yes, and so that's it. But it is awful. Right. You know, and my patient's like, oh, I just had rice. I just had rice. And I said, I know, but we already know that's a problem for you. And so, you know, they suffer for, you know, days, or even in some cases, weeks.
Right.
Unfortunately.
And so I named this this show, The Bad Girl's Guide to Living Well, not necessarily because, you know, I mean, we do have a history of being kind of bad, but it's like, can you have rice? Like, for some people, that's the extent of being bad, right? Or can I have one margarita or one Cosmo and not have my health totally tank because of it? And so the idea behind this was, how do you support your body in simple, natural ways so that you can live outside the plastic bubble and still have a good, you know, have a pretty good, enjoyable life and relatively normal. So for anybody wondering why we named it this, as far as the content that we're doing, you know, that's why. So along with those occult or like stealth infections and inflammation, and if we do find that, you know, these things are activated, what have been your favorite therapies to help people get through these?
Oh, well, the beauty of naturopathic medicine is, of course, that we have so many tools in our toolbox. And, you know, I definitely try to meet my patient where they're at, and their protocols are always individual because they bring their uniqueness to the table. And so the basics are, as I was saying before, you know, you have to get your stress under control. We have to get you eating the proper diet for you. And that does takes some time to figure that out. You know,
definitely.
If blood sugar is an issue, we need to get that under control. If you have food sensitivities, we need to understand that. If your endocrine system is off in any way, you know, we really need to work on that. You know, I always say to my lady patients, like, PMS is not, you're not supposed to suffer every month just because you're a lady.
Right.
You know, so those are indications that the body's giving you that things aren't quite right. You know, simple stuff like, you know, getting fresh air every day, moving every day, you know, not overdoing it, just simply being aware and listening to your body, because usually the body's pretty on and on point about what it needs and what it doesn't need. And a lot of us just have to start listening a little bit better and realizing that finishing the rat race flat on our face is not really a win.
Right. And I mean, I see it even, you know, personally all the time. I think that, you know, I'm my worst patient, but I'm also my best patient because I learn in watching myself how to actually coach people to be more present in their bodies. I mean, so much of my life has been just put your head down and ignore what's going on, push through it, you know, be tough. There's other stuff to do. There's no time for this. And, you know, there's only so many years that you can do that, I've found. And so the body will tell you if you're in touch with it and you pay attention to it. And there's warning lights that go off all of the time.
Yes.
You know, I talk about how any kind of like digestive issues, constipation, like if you don't have a poop every day, you're in trouble. And that's one of the first things that I hammer out in my practice. But I do ask a lot about hormones, especially in women. I mean, women are always going to be, you know, more complicated, right? But like menopause, I have a lot of women in the menopausal age group, and some of them have hot flashes for 15 years.
Yeah, that's not right.
That's not right. And they're like, well, my mother told me, you know, to like just buckle up because this was the way it was going to go. And I was like, wow, 15 years? So that means that there is some stress going on in your liver, et cetera, that we need to, you know, we need to take care of because it can definitely snowball.
Definitely.
So as far as the hormonal aspect, do you want to talk a little bit more about that? Because you are a specialist in endocrinology as well.
So let's see. Well, it gets back to that analogy of the walls of the house. And, you know, what I found in my very complex patients is if I didn't put their endocrine system back to, you know, piece it all back together again, we wouldn't really get very far. And my first clue about this was when I was treating Lyme disease, and I found that so many people that had gone through or were going through the treatment courses, their endocrine system was all out of whack, and their cycles were all out of whack. And I said, there's something happening here. There is a direct link. And then, and at that point, nobody was really talking about that or screening for it or supporting the endocrine system. So I found incredibly in my experience that if you do what you were kind of just talking about, like ignore all the signs, you know, your body does, you know, get your attention eventually. And often it's in a way that you do not appreciate. And so I do have a patient who actually discovered that her immune system and she was loaded with these infections, but she discovered this by having repeat miscarriages.
Mm.
Everything was looking fine. You know, she thought everything was fine. She was running, going. And, you know, then she could not carry a baby. And so, particularly with this patient, it was a long road of, you know, first really working to go at, first we just went after the infections, and it turned out we had to sort of step back because she just couldn't recover, even with the strongest therapies. We did IV therapies, we did pharmaceutical therapies, and there was no budging. There was no budging this girl's health. And we went back and we did food sensitivities. That opened up a whole, you know, that actually changed her life, just that alone. And then we discovered she was actually in menopause, early menopause. And so what we ended up having to do was piece the endocrine system back together. And eventually, you know, then once the endocrine system was back in order and she was cycling again, we could then go after the infections and, you know, literally just see the shift in the lab work, shift the immune system shift, even just with the focus on the hormones and, you know, not even really doing anything specific for the infections, you see some improvement. And I find that remarkable.
Yeah, it's really amazing because it's one of the biggest differences, I think, between conventional medicine and like naturopathic or alternative functional medicine is that we regularly see people get better. Now, you're talking about, so right. She started to go through menopause, and conventionally one would never expect for her to come back from that. But yet right. It's something that you and I probably see all of the time when you give the body what it needs.
Exactly. Yeah, I've had a reversal of menopause, early menopause, in this particular patient twice now.
Okay.
And yeah, and
was she able to have a baby?
She sure did. She did have a baby. So it was pretty
wonderful.
Amazing. And you know, yeah. It is true what you say. That is, I think, one of the best gifts about this work that we do, is that we do see people get better, and it's the I think it's more of the oddity if they don't get better.
Right. And that's where I find that I have to dig a lot deeper, right? Usually fairly simple things do it most of the time if people are compliant.
Yes.
And they do, you know, what I tell them. However, it can take a bit of a commitment as far as time goes. Can you share a little bit about how long it took for, I mean, just this one patient, since we were already talking about her?
Yeah.
So, how long did it take?
So let's see. To reverse the menopause each time, it was a very intensive protocol of mostly supplements. They were some hormonally based, but mostly supplements. And I believe it was 3 to 4 months that we took an FSH that was at 54 and brought it down to 12.
Wow. And that's not a very long period of time.
It wasn't a long period of time. And, you know, it just goes to show you that when you give the body what it needs, it will do what it's supposed to. It's
just about every time.
You just have to figure it out. You just have to get your thumb on that magical button, you know, and of understanding exactly what's going on in that person's biochemistry. And when you do figure it out, it, you know, the body's amazing. And it really works. And it's just that we got to give it all the right tools.
Right.
And so,
yeah, so we have go ahead.
I was just going to say, so in addition to the reversal of the menopause in this patient, you know, the anti-infection protocol for most patients can be as short as like 4 months, or it could take years. It really depends on the patient and the number of maybe obstacles to cure we might encounter, or the amount of the pillars of health that we have to go through, you know, if like a heavy metal detox, or, you know, going through their genetic polymorphisms is necessary, or some major parasite cleanse is necessary. You know, it sort of depends on what the other players are and what else is going on with that person. But what I always tell my patients is, we may not be done with this for a long time, but you should feel better very soon.
Right.
And to me, very
soon. That's why
soon
we offer. Go ahead. Very soon.
To me, very soon is a month. You should feel something within a month.
In a month, yeah. I would agree with that.
There's so many people out there that feel like this medicine takes so long to be effective, and I do not agree with that at all.
Yeah. Especially when you figure out what's going on. And like, I do a lot of testing. I do a lot of testing because I want to know before, you know, what the gut looks like and what sort of hormonal things we're going to have to overcome. And so work into that first bit of protocol, some things that are going to strengthen all of those different pillars of the house. Mm-hmm. And naturopathicmd.com does offer a lot of those tests that people can get all over the country, in just about every state, to be able to uncover that, because naturopathic medicine isn't necessarily everywhere. And, you know, there aren't offices everywhere where people can just go and get this sort of medicine, especially in the middle of the country. But I guess one of the other questions or points I wanted to bring up was the gut. Like, I'm pretty crazy about the gut lately and the flora. UC Davis just did a study looking at 100 years of baby poop.
Oh,
and they saw how, it was really interesting because they were looking at how the acidity of the baby poop over the last 100 years has been incredible as far as
growing in
more acidic. Yes. And so the flora has changed significantly. And they were even extrapolating that it was associated with autoimmune diseases and allergies. And so something that you and I have been working on for the last 10 years is finally making its way into a conventional, like, UC hospital.
Yes.
And it's interesting because they were talking about how you get healthy flora from your mother if you're born, if you're not born C-section, but the mother can't pass on what she doesn't have.
Right.
And so it was in the paper, the last sentence was, so you can, you know, support your body with probiotics, which are one of my favorite things to do, right? Which I think everybody, people ask me all the time, like, what are supplements you think everybody should be on? And probiotics are always on my list. Would you agree?
Uh-huh. I have three or four things, a multi, a probiotic, and a fish oil is like the most basic, but so many people need the minerals too. So that's usually the four.
Yeah. Yeah, I always, just because our food supply is so atrocious, the minerals are definitely my other go-to.
There's an amazing percentage of Americans that are deficient in magnesium, and when it's a cofactor for over 200 enzymatic reactions in your body, you ought to have it, right?
Right. Why do people crave chocolate? It's not just the sugar. I think it's partly the magnesium, too. You know, the body does know what it is. Does, you know, maybe,
or
not Cadbury. I mean, Easter's coming.
Or the PEAs. We're all craving those PEAs.
Right, exactly. Again, this is Dr. Heather Dowen with Bad Girls Guide to Living Well. And if you do have questions and you'd like to call in, and we are live today. So if you want to call in with a question, it's 844-390-8255. So I'm here with Dr. Lori DiBacco, and we're talking about just naturopathic medicine, stealth infections, and health hormones, et cetera. So I guess we have touched on a lot about, you know, self-care and having to take care of oneself because no one else is going to do it. And in our environment, we can't necessarily expect to be doing awesomely when we've got, you know, crazy stuff that's emerging in medicine that's having an effect on just about everything. So what's your favorite self-care that you've been doing lately?
Oh,
mine's denial.
I am doing yoga therapy, which is a combination of meditation and yoga with a particular therapist. And she is totally amazing. And she's helping me to, in a way that I've never been able to before, separate myself from all of the goings-on of my mind. Mm-hmm. So think about how, you know, something crazy happens, or you're having a crazy day, you're just going, you're so in your head, you know, and then you get anxious about something and you go down the rabbit hole, you know, you're just all in, up yeah. in your head. And so she's teaching me how to sort of step back and be more of an observer of that. And mm-hmm. so, okay, yes, I see that you're upset and I see that this is going on. How do you feel? What do you need? Why don't you take a breath? You know, and it's really been a wonderful experience. And, you know, because I, like you, am really good at working and working really hard and not necessarily mm-hmm. knowing when to push the stop button, you know, right. and it's like, it's a blessing and a curse because we love what we do. And it does take a lot to do it well. And
mm-hmm.
and then we end up feeling like we're burnt out and we're like, how did this happen again? So the strategy for not getting burnt out. And I really feel more hopeful about, you know, my ability to do this work and in a balanced way than I ever have been.
That's fantastic, so, because it really yeah. is one of our tenets is, you know, physician, heal thyself, right? Mm-hmm. And yet so much of medicine, whether it's conventional medicine or alternative, whatever, because of the intensity of what we do, a lot of us are notoriously bad at taking care of ourselves because we're more wired to take care of others.
Yes. Yes.
I've been implementing meditation. More mm-hmm. like I committed to doing it every day for 15 minutes, and it's absolutely been transformative.
Awesome, good
and
girl.
And I guess I just right. I mean, I know I've been so bad for so many years. It feels quite strange, but it really takes a lot to see like 15 minutes, and I don't understand what this barrier is to like. There's so many other things that I feel that I should be doing or could be doing. And so really carving out that just tiny piece of the day was, mm-hmm. was really difficult in the beginning. And I didn't know what was so problematic for me, but I made the commitment and I have been doing it. And it's incredible because there's 15, probably 100 different things that we could give for stress. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And yet so much of medicine, when it's really effective, is subtractive. So it's like that food allergy testing, which is, again, right. it's one of my favorite tools that we have because it gives so much information on what people can do every day to just lessen the burden of stress on their system. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is you find out, like, for example, you're allergic to turkey. Mm-hmm. Great, healthy white meat, can't eat it. You subtract it from your health and things can just shift so much. So right. like if you can, rather than handing people 5 different pills that they can take for their stress, mm-hmm. these other, you know, lifestyle things like your yoga and your meditation therapy and my meditation, I can't stress it enough as far as like how you make big changes in your life. It can be so simple by just committing to something like that. Would you agree?
Right. Yes, yes. I mean, I give my patients treatment plans at every visit, and there's usually, you know, a dietary recommendation, and there's usually some supplements, and then there's a lifestyle recommendation. And, mm-hmm. you know, the lifestyle one is the one that's free, totally
right.
free.
right.
And totally all it requires is, you know, a choice on their part, and that's the one that's the hardest to do. I could give yeah. them 10 things, 10 supplements or medications to take, and my patients would be good little doobies and take them all. But if I ask them just to go to bed a half hour earlier or an hour earlier, it's really difficult, and it takes time.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think that is?
I think that we are in a culture of trying to do too much, and there is no prize, and there's no teaching us what is balance and what does that look like and why is it important. And so we all just strive to succeed and to make it, you know, whatever that means for each individual, and, you know, usually to our own detriment.
And we do have a pill for every ill society, right? So it's a lot easier for people to wrap their mind around taking another pill, even if it is a supplement.
Right.
But it's the other piece.
Yeah, I was just listening to a Brené Brown lecture today, and she was saying, we are the most obese, the most highly medicated, and the most in-debt society that has ever been. And it struck me because, you know, instead of us getting in touch with our feelings, this was about vulnerability, and it's a really great lecture. I hope everyone can listen to it on. It's a TED Talk. But instead of, like, getting in touch with our feelings or, you know, getting to that quiet contentment of our lives, we just keep feeding. And we feed whatever, you know, whatever it is for us. Some people it's food. Some people it's drugs, you know, or alcohol. Mm-hmm. And some people it's retail therapy, you know. It's like we're just...
Or sex or gambling.
Or sex or gambling. Or, yeah, it's whatever, you know, your pill is. Yeah. Whatever your vice is.
Yeah.
And remember when I taught that detox class? I created that 4-week detox program. So
yeah, I'd love to hear more about that, actually.
Yeah. So one of the first things, the first week was all about just taking a look at your life and where you were feeling content and where you were not and what things were going to be good for you to keep in your life and what are the vices and the things that are no longer serving you. And so many people, you know, we talked a lot about coffee and, you know, giving up, working towards, you know, giving up coffee. Don't ever do that.
Wait.
don't ever give up cold coffee, cold turkey, because you'll get some serious headaches. But, you know, for some people, that was the vice that they wanted to work on. For other people, it was like, I want to get 8 hours sleep. And for other people, it was like, I want to get off the news. And, you know, nowadays, I'm sure many people would be like, I'm going to take a break from social media.
Oh, God, yes, I did.
Yeah. And like that was a transformative experience for most of those people.
Yeah.
You know, like they finished a 4-week course on detoxification, and what they really did was detoxify their life.
Right, exactly.
It wasn't
I don't
about
think that you can detoxify your body without detoxifying your spirit and your emotions and your life. Like everything can change.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, taking a look at those vices and just sitting with yourself and taking a look at the vices and what's serving you in your life and what do you really want? And so what's happening in your life that's in line with that?
Right. And what a dangerous question though.
What's that?
What a dangerous question. What do you really want?
What do you really want? And one of the tricks is you actually have to have the time to sit down, quiet your mind, and listen. Mm-hmm. And that is a tall order for some people. I know it is for me. You know, we as moms and folks that work, it's really a difficult balance. It's a difficult dance. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to do everything well, and it may actually be impossible.
Yeah, I would say it's probably impossible because it's the people that do everything well and have it floored for however many years that really get sick really quick.
Yep.
And as far as like what I've seen.
Yeah, I can certainly think of those examples. Yeah.
And so many people have no idea what they want. I mean, in my own experience, just as far as like working hard and multitasking and having all of these different roles that I feel like I have to fulfill, et cetera, like I've got 4 different jobs that I could work from, you know, the time that I wake up to, you know, late at night every day. And I think that I do really enjoy what I do. in a lot of ways. And yet it's like, there's only so much vital force that I could give to that sort of thing.
Right.
And so prioritizing and figuring out what is it that I really do want, is something that I haven't got totally in focus, because I think that it is a process, but I think I'm probably getting closer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you keep meditating, and I bet you your teacher within will bring you the messages that you need.
Right.
You know what I did with a group of women that was a really awesome experience, and I sort of feel like we should start doing this. You know, we should all go out into our friend groups and start doing vision board parties.
Oh, so God.
Vision board party. Now.
Oh, no, cut and paste all the way. Totally on board.
Yeah, it was so much fun. You know, and it's, you know, here's your time limit. Look through these things and just rip out the pages that speak to you or call out to you. And so, you know, I haven't done one of these things since we were in medical school.
Right.
And I found myself totally turned on by the, you know, the images that I was seeing and certain words that were in those pages. And I'm actually looking at my vision board right now, and I don't really like that word, vision board, because it's not, right. To me, it wasn't about looking for what I want in my life that's missing, because I think my life is full. I have great things in my life, you know, and now I just have to slow down enough to enjoy them. But, like, you know, I've got Mooney Falls on here, you know, out in Havasu.
Right.
And just looking at those falls is so amazing for me. You know, and just to be reminded that I have people crossing a river, and I always think of you and I crossing that raging river in Bryce Canyon.
Oh my God.
When I thought you would be washed away for sure.
No, the man that pulled me out of that river, you know, we've had our disagreements in the past over the last 10 years, and I regularly tell him, thank you for saving my life, because I never would have gotten out of that river alive.
You were not heavy enough to be.
No. If I had another 100 pounds on me, I might have been able to make it out of that rapid, but yeah. One of my favorite things that I remember, like, you and I have done yoga all over the Southwest, mm-hmm. you know, like just, to, you know, take off our backpacks, get on a beautiful rock, look at the sky. And mm-hmm. I think that's one of my happy thoughts. And one thing, as far as, you know, like, I'm a mother, I'm a business owner, I have my, you know, 9 to 5, I have mm-hmm. all of these other responsibilities that, you know, fit into what my days look like. But mm-hmm. I do think that when you're looking at happy thoughts, right? I guess vision boarding, it, for me, I'm not a great, you know, I don't love that word either, but happy thoughts or whatever you can hold in your mind's eye that makes your heart feel lighter.
Yes.
I think it changed the trajectory of your day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you're in a lot of my happy thoughts.
Yes.
You know, as far as like the
being in
nature. Yeah. And I mean, we might live on opposite sides of the country, but even now, like, I just feel like my heart gets a little bit lighter. My, you know, vision gets a little bit brighter. And if we can disrupt nastiness and bad days and negativity and stress with just having a couple of those things that make your life feel a little bit better, I think that, you know, it helps the goodness flow a bit better.
Yep. Yeah, it's like you need to remember those touchstones of your life, those memories that you've cataloged that, you know, you can just conjure up, and you suddenly can remember all the feelings that are associated with that memory. Like in my yoga therapy the other day, I did a guided meditation with my therapist, and we went to what came up was my first cross-country trip when I had just finished undergrad. And so, you know, and I was in meditation thinking of this and talking to her about, you know, how carefree I felt, You know, every day
right.
I took my tent down and we got on the road and we landed somewhere and I put my tent back up. You know, I was a rambling woman.
Yeah.
And it was the most free and the most carefree I could ever imagine. And so I came out of that therapy session carrying that with me. Right. And all the BS that I carried into that session with me was a really much further away. Because I had brought those feelings all back just by thinking of that. And mm-hmm. so that's what all those good memories are for. You know, they are you could pull them up every day, all day.
Yeah, exactly. And then just also think about how you can make new ones.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I had Dr. Sarah Kotzer on here. I guess 2 weeks ago now, it flies, and she and I were talking about where our next adventure is going to be. So, Lori, where's our next adventure going to be?
We're going to Phoenix in just a few weeks.
Yes, we are. We get to go and see the desert.
I cannot wait. I feel like the desert's been calling me for a couple of years, and I'm finally going to get back out there.
There is nothing like it.
So is there anything else you think your listeners want to hear about endocrine stuff? Because do you know a demographic of your listeners?
I think that it's pretty wide-ranged. It's pretty wide-ranged. I think that any sort of I don't know, you probably know this, but thyroid medication has passed statin drugs as far as the most prescribed drug in the United States.
I'm not surprised. Yeah, I was wondering if you wanted to circle back to medicine, we should talk about adrenal and thyroid disorders in women.
Let's
in men too, but I think in women it's particularly prominent.
Yeah, and I think that men, you know, when I do a lot of, you know, wellness and help people decrease their weight healthily in a way that mm-hmm. keeps it off. And men are so much easier than women. So let's talk about women because it's the hormones that make them so much more difficult. So, and I think that thyroid is classically mismanaged, first because they do terrible tests. Like TSH is an absolutely ridiculous test. It's like wanting to get to know me and sit down with my grandmother. Right. And think that,
exactly.
Oh yeah, I really know her now. And so,
right.
And if also like if you, there's so much that can go wrong with thyroid and then the adrenal glands, if they're not supported at the same time, in my opinion, that really shows that's one of the culprits when it's not managed well. So I would love to hear your take on it as well.
Yeah. So one of the more common complaints of women that come to my office is, you know, I've been on this thyroid medicine for years and I still feel like crap. And so what we do is we try to, And all my labs are normal, right. So my doc won't change my medicine. Meanwhile, these women have, you know, think that they're not on enough medicine and that all of their problems are from this thyroid. And ultimately, you know, well, first we have to do the full thyroid testing, which of course is a free T3. A free T4 and a TSH. And if there's any consideration of an autoimmune process, you need to do the autoimmune thyroid antibodies, TPO antibodies, mm-hmm. and TG antibodies. Mm-hmm. And then if a hyperthyroid is considered, then you need to look at TBIs and TSH receptor antibodies. So anyway, first you look and get the full picture. But I almost never just test the thyroid because if I take if I do an intake and the patient gives me these classic signs of either, you know, I fall asleep every night, but then I'm awake after 3 hours and I'm awake for 2 hours during the night and then I fall back to sleep around 5. So there's always this insomnia picture. There's usually dramatic fatigue. Again, right, they've come in, they're on supposedly the right thyroid medicine, their TSH looks good, but they're still dramatically fatigued, not able to lose weight, really depressed, and, you know, could have some GI signs and stuff like that as well. But let's see, what else is a classic sign? I go through my morning okay, but then I crash at 2 p.m. or at 3 p.m. You know, and some of these signs are classic, classic adrenal deficiency signs. So my favorite way to evaluate the adrenals is with a saliva test so that I can get 4 samples in one day. And yes, that gives me a good picture of the adrenal output, which actually has this diurnal rhythm. So it's really high in the morning with cortisol and really low in the evening so that you can go to sleep. Cortisol is a stress hormone, helps you to get up and have the energy to get through your day. So, and there's a real interplay between thyroid and adrenal function. So if you have thyroid and adrenal problems, and you only treat the thyroid, you may make the adrenal problem worse. So right, that's a lot of what happens, is the people are coming in because their adrenals have really crashed because of the focus on the thyroid. And with women, especially as we get older, when you enter the menopausal transition, another hormone from the adrenals is critically important for making all those hormones that we need to keep us going in our postmenopausal life, and those come from DHEA. So mm-hmm. that's another adrenal hormone that's critical for health. And mm-hmm. so if you stress yourself out to the max, you know, you might have adrenal problems. If you... have imbalance in blood sugar, you might have adrenal problems. You know, I've reversed several diabetes cases and found them to be caused at least in part from adrenal issues. And so it's really this critical pillar of health that's being completely missed by the conventional realm. And it's really sad. It's really sad to me. And it's simple to evaluate, simple to fix, and so critical to health. So, yeah, you know, getting all the right tests is really the key, and certainly getting someone that knows how to interpret them and help put the pieces back together is so critical.
Right. I would agree. I mean, I feel like a lot of the problems that started to shift my health came from the adrenals just being like, you know what, you're mm-hmm. being an a-hole and I'm out of here. Right. So we only have about 2 minutes left.
Oh, okay.
So I was curious, as far as one of the biggest things that changed for like my adrenal support and how I felt most recently was taking pregnenolone. Yeah. Which is a pro-hormone that feeds into like progesterone and DHEA, et cetera. And so it can help because I am getting older and I'm starting to go through that process where my hormones are shifting a bit. Mm-hmm. Do you have a personal favorite or one that you would recommend as something that people could try?
For adrenals, something that's very yeah. safe and gentle is herbs like ashwagandha and Eleutherococcus. So mm-hmm. I use those a lot in my patients. If there's a time frame before we actually get the tests back, I find those to be very balancing, no matter mm-hmm. what situation they have with their adrenals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always nice to start with, the body recognizes herbs like food, not pharmaceuticals.
Correct.
And so they yeah. don't necessarily have the negative side effects and are much more gentle, and they're more like software teaching the body how to work better, and they can be restorative mm-hmm. rather than just cutting a wire to a light.
Yes.
So we're just about out of time, and I'm so glad to have been able to have you on the show, Dr. Lori DiBacco. You can visit naturopathicmd.com in order to learn more about her and how to contact her if you want to have her help or expertise in helping you with your health. So this is Dr. Heather Dowen with The Bad Girl's Guide to Living Well. And thank you for showing up. Thank you, Dr. DiBacco.
You've been listening to The Bad Girl's Guide to Living Well. Join Dr. Heather and her special guests every other Friday at 2 p.m. For more information, go to www.naturopathicmd.com or follow her on Instagram at naturopathicmd.